Okay, Perakova. Bereshis. Perakova Pasigalif. Bereshis Mamluchus Yoyakim and Yoshiahu Melch Yehuda Hoyadavar Zemiyes Hashem Lemer. It was in the first year of Yoyakim and Yoshiahu, the king of Yehuda. The following prophecy was revealed to me, Lemar, and I was instructed to convey the message to all of the people of Klal Yisrael. Now, right away, Rashi takes note, before we even see the Mitzudos, take note of Rashi. Rashi says that this Nevuah was said, this Peruch Havav is out of order. Peruch Havav was said 4 years before Nevuah Peruch Havav. Peruch Havav that we learned yesterday, we finished yesterday, if we go back to the beginning of the Peruch, it's very clear that Nevuah took place in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. As we remember, we mentioned many times that Yehoyakim, that Yirmiyah said Nevuah for 40 years. And the first year of his Nevuah was in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the king for 31 years. We mentioned this by Rashi last week, that he said prophecy for the last 19 years of Yoshiyahu. Right after Yoshiyahu died, in the first year, the one who succeeded him was what we mentioned, was first Yehoyachas. And after Yehoyachas, who only lasted for 3 months, he was succeeded by his brother Yehoyakim. So the prophecy that we're about to learn over here in Peruch Havav took place in the first year of Yehoyakim, whereas the prophecy of Peruch Havav took place in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. So that means that these two Perukim are out of wood. We're going to look here right now. Peruch Havav took place before what it says in Peruch Chav. But what it said, what we're going to learn now in Peruch Havav took place before, 4 years before what it says in Peruch Chav. Hey. Now,
is that for a reason, maybe?
What's the reason? Very good question. Why is it out of order? I don't know.
I don't know if there's a message or that's just that this is the way they found the stuff and put it together like this.
Tough question. I didn't see anything. And not that I looked very hard to see, but I didn't come across anything. But obviously
that... Sometimes the idea is that you want, in other words, I'll tell you what happened. Now we're going to give you the background on why something happened.
So you just said two different ideas. First,
right.
You said how they found it. Yeah. So there can be many Enochanami speculating. There can be many different, even maybe Enochanami that his Nevuahs were scattered. They were scattered about, and maybe they thought the book was finished. And at a later point in time, they found this later Nevuah, and that's why it was just appended at a later point in time out of order. Or maybe that the Iker is Peruch Havav. Peruch Havav really is a much harsher Nevuah. It describes, yes and no, we have to first learn Peruch Havav.
I'm going to give you the background on why
right. Peruch Havav is more the background, so it's derech first to express what's going to happen, and then to go backwards and fill in the details. Or it could very well be, that since the Nevuahs are given over as prophecy for all generations, there's a message in the Nevuah for all generations. It could be that the earlier Nevuahs in the Sefer are more relevant. There's more potency for Klal Yisrael, for all huge generations, in things that are expressed towards the beginning of the Sefer. Maybe those who put the Sefer together were afraid that people wouldn't get through the entire Sefer.
Right?
They would run out the clock. So if you're only going to learn a few psukim from Yirmiyah, learn Perek Aleph. This is the most important. You all have more time, Perek Beis. If you're only going to go halfway to the Sefer, you're going to cut off after Peruch Havav, at least get in this Nevuah. So okay, obviously there's many different possibilities of speculation as to why the Nevuahs are out of order. This is not unique to Yirmiyah. It's certainly true with regard to Yeshaya. Yeshaya also, almost all the Nevuahs are out of order. And Yecheskel as well, and all the prophets, most of them, there's a lot of things that are out of order. Okay, so what is it over here? Here it says, in the first year of Mamluchus, in the first year of Yoyakim and Yoshiyah, Melch Yudah HaYadavar Zeviyas Hashem Lemar, let's see Pasuk Beis, Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, Amoid Bechatzai Beis Hashem, stand in the courtyard, Vidibarta Al Kol Or Yehudah HaBoyim L'Shtach Vois Beis Hashem, and speak to all of the people, that are coming to be Oil L'Regel, that are coming to bow down to the base Hashem, Eis kol hadvarim asher tzivisich, all of the words which I command you to daber aleihem, al tigra dovar. Don't hold back. Don't think that you can fulfill your obligation by only delivering 90% of the prophecy. You will not fulfill your obligation until you deliver every single last word. Ulai. Remember this expression, we gave a whole shiur on this. The difference between the word pen and the word ulai. Ulai means halavai. Ulai, if only yishmu'u v'yashuvu, if only they will listen and they will repent, ish midar koi hara'ah, v'nichamti al hara'ah, and then I will have regret, I will change my mind, l'rasha nochi choshev la'asos lachem, on the evil that I plan to do to them, b'nei roya ma'alalehem, due to their evil deeds. V'yamarta alehem, what should you say to them? Koyama Hashem, im lo'y shishmu ilai lechas b'yusay rasi, if you're not going to listen to me to go in the Torah that I've commanded you, Yashinasati lifneichem, Lishmaya, to listen al divrei avodai hanaviim, al of you is going to mean el, to listen to the words of my prophets, my servants, my prophets, Asher noch yishlech aleichem, v'hashkem v'shalayach, I have sent them to you continuously, early in the morning, and continuously, v'loy shemaatem, and you have not listened. If you're going to do in these evil ways, then what's going to happen? We had this idea a while ago, and this idea was also expressed by Yeshaya, and this is a very important idea. I don't know why there's so much repetition, but here it is. V'nasati yisabayis hazeh kishiloi. This was a very powerful way of scaring the people. Visual, it's going to come to you the same thing that came to Shiloi. V'yasu'ir hazos etein liklala. And this city, I'm going to deliver as for a curse, l'chol goyei ha'aretz. Now, it appears that this was the first time that Yirmiyah scared the people. It appears, even though Yirmiyah began his prophecy way before, 19 years before, in the time of Yoshiyahu, in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu, it appears many of those prophecies were stored, were contained, and were not expressed until a later point in time. Or some of those prophecies were not necessarily relevant for us to know, and they're not recorded in Sefer Yirmiyah. His prophecy began in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu would be a king for another 19 years. Were some of those things, were some of those prophecies relevant to the Churban Beis HaMikdash? It must have been. I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly. But here the Mefarshim make a very strong point in explaining, as we're going to see over here, that here when he was making this announcement, it was the first time. It was the first time that he revealed to the people that, watch out, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And if you want an example of what I mean destroyed, let me give you the ultimate example, Shiloi. Shiloi, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we discussed this in the beginning of the Sefer, and we learned Yeshaya, we discussed same idea. Shiloi, in essence, was the worst, one of the worst events that ever happened to Klal Yisrael. It was even worse than the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni. Why is that so? Because it was the first time. We also have to remember that Shiloi is on par with the Churban Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. We learned this from Yosef and Yaakov. Yosef and Binyamin. When Yosef and Binyamin were reunited, it says in the pasuk, "Vayipol al tzavrei Binyamin, vayev chalav, uvinyamin bacha al tzavarav." And Rashi there explains, why does it say by Binyamin the word tzavarav b'loshen rabim, and by Binyamin and by Yosef does it say tzavar b'loshen yochid? And Rashi explains, because the tzavar is a symbol, is a metaphor for the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the neck of a human being, it combines, it joins the head and the body. The head represents spirituality, and the body represents the physical material, the physical part of the body. Likewise, the Beis HaMikdash is the tzavar. It is the chibor between ruchnius and gashmius. In Shamayim, there is kula ruchnius. On this world, there is gashmius, and the Beis HaMikdash is the neck. It is the connection between these two. Binyamin, in his portion of the land, was built the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Therefore, Yosef saw at this moment in time that the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni would be Charav. He cried, Al Tzavrei. Binyamin, at this point in time, also saw that the Beis HaMikdash of Shiloh would be destroyed that was built in the chelik of Yosef. So therefore, Uvin Yamin Bacha Al Tzavarov. Now, what do we take out of this pasuk? We take out of this pasuk one very simple thing, is that being that the two are grouped together, we see that the Churban of Shiloh is equal to the Churban of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. We don't really focus on this. Comes Tisha B'Av, even though it's mentioned in the Kino Shiloh here and there, in a few places it does mention Shiloh, we don't focus on Tisha B'Av being the day of the Churban Shiloh. We focus on the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni. I guess because Tisha B'Av was the day when it was destroyed. I do not know if we have a record on what day of the year Shiloh was destroyed. Okay, so it's not necessarily the calendar day. It doesn't say that five terrible things. It says five terrible things happened to Klal Yisrael on Tes B'Av. Churban Shiloh is not one of them. So that's not part of the day. However, on Tisha B'Av, we all know that we commemorate every national tragedy in the history of Klal Yisrael. And being that the Pasuk puts together Churban Shiloh together with the Churban Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni, obviously Tisha B'Av is a day also to commemorate the Churban of Shiloh. Now Shiloh was the first major Mikdash, because the Aron, because in the Midbar they only had the Mishkan with the Krushim and the Urias. When they came into Eretz Yisrael after 14 years in Gilgal, they set up a major Mikdash that was built with stone walls. Now the cover was, the roof was not wood, the roof was plaster, the roof was still Urias, but it was a major structure, and it lasted for 369 years. And people never ever believed in their wildest dreams that Shiloh would be destroyed, it would come to an end. And Klal Yisrael at this point in time was innocent. They never experienced Churban. It didn't even fathom upon them such a thing. When the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, in a certain sense, it wasn't so traumatic because they already had the Klal Yisrael had already had the experience of Churban in the Churban of Shiloh. The Plishtim destroyed Shiloh because of the Chatoim. There were a number of Chatoim that were taking place. The Chofni and Pinchas, they were leading the Kohanim. They were corrupt. They made too many demands. They delayed the korbanos, and they took the meat before they took advantage of their position. That's another story. It's another story why it was destroyed. But the first, you only have one chance to make a first impression. The same way that concept is true. It's certainly true when it comes to Churban. So when a Navi would say to Klal Yisrael, "Watch out! If you misbehave, it's going to happen to you, just like what happened at Shiloh," you were really asking for trouble, because this was you were touching a raw nerve. This was the most sensitive thing you can possibly say to Klal Yisrael. You can give them all the mussar you want. They can listen, okay, you're giving us nice mussar. The mussar is for someone else. But when you say to them, it's going to happen to you like what happened to Shiloh, this was something which was very, very frightening. Okay, so here it's that's exactly what it says over here. Now let's see the Mitzudos, David, all of these psukim together, starting with Pasuk Chav Vav. Per Pasuk Aleph and the Mitzudos David, there is no Pasuk. Pasuk Beis, Al Kol Yehuda, El Kol Yoshvei Ore Yehuda, Al must be substituted with the word El. Al Tigon Adavar, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I have a prophecy. Do not hold back even one word. Al tifchas mildaber davar echad mikol hadavarim. Do not hold back even one word. Pasuk Gimel. Ulai yishmu. Only maybe halavai. Maybe they will listen to you. Ulai yikamul hadavarim b'yashuvu el kol ish midarkoi hara'ah. And then v'nichamti el hara'ah. Oz anachem al hara'ah. I will have regret. I will change my mind. L'shmoya divarai. To listen, l'shmoya al divrei, Musa v'al mikra shalafonav, v'hu kamo v'lishmoya el divrei, they shall listen to these words. V'hashkem v'shalayach, they have refused to listen to the prophets who continuously gave them Musa early in the morning and late in the evening. V'ani ha'yisi mashkim v'shalayach, v'im kol zelo shematem, v'ritzen olema, im kain t'hasu kamo sh'asisem adko, if you're going to continue to go in your merry ways like you've done until now, you're asking for trouble. Pasuk Vav, here's the clincher. Oz then, Vinosati, Ozatane Sabayas Azelios Chorva, Kmosha Chorva Mishkan Shiloi, Bime Eli, Etim Miklala Shayu Mikhalalimba. The whole world, if they want a curse, they'll say you should be like a Jew. It should come to you like what happened to the Jews in Yerushalayim. Lema Miklalasam Shetiak Yerushalayim. Okay, so this is the similar reading of the Pasuk. Let's go see over here the Rashi. Rashi already said the first Rashi, Bereshis Mam Luchois, Parsha Zu Tachtoina. Kodma lo elyoina arba'a shanim. Perek Chavav came before Perek Chavhei by 4 years. Because here it says that this prophecy was said to Yirmiyah in the first year of Yehoyakim. Whereas in Perek Chavhei, it was said, the pasuk begins, it was said to him in the fourth year of Yehoyakim.
Bereshis necessarily have to mean one? It could be the beginning.
In the beginning. Bereshis means... I mean, you say, does it have to mean the first year? Maybe it means in the fifth year, because the fifth year is still towards the beginning. So you're saying very, very good, because that's exactly what Rashi says in the Pasuk on Bereshis. We commonly translate the word Bereshis, in the beginning, Hashem created Hashamayim Va'aretz. But that translation that is so common, that is on the tip of our tongues, is not the translation of Rashi. That is the translation of the Targum. Rashi says, towards the beginning. Mm-hmm. Towards the beginning of the creation of Shamayim Va'aretz, which means exactly as he says, Hashem created Shamayim Va'aretz. Sometime before. When before, we don't know. We're not even allowed to ask.
Right.
But during that tekufa, during the beginning process of the creation of Shamayim Va'aretz, here, Hashem said there should be a soul. You're 100% correct. According to Rashi, Bereshis does not mean in the beginning. It means towards the beginning of some other event. So you're asking over here how Rashi here appears to contradict himself in the translation. And you can't go tell me maybe when it says Bereshis in Tanakh 50 times. So when it says it like, well, sometimes it means this, sometimes it means that, because the truth is, it only says Bereshis in Tanakh 3 times. 3 times. So therefore, you got to be consistent. So you
but
really...
But here it's in contrast to what he said in the previous paragraph,
4. So here, Bereshis mam luchus yoyokim and yoshu yimuch yudah hoyedvashem, why? There it said, it doesn't mean the first, it means towards the beginning, in year 2, year 3. There it said year 4. Maybe already 4 is not already called the beginning. Once you get to 4 years, you're past your honeymoon. You're ready up to the second term. What? So.
But this Bereshis refers to a specific time.
What?
It's connected to what follows in the...
It's
safer Bereshis.
Yeah.
It's not, the word is almost suspended, not connected to anything specific, and that's why it's ambiguous, and that's why you have to explain it and fill in the gaps.
Here, and over here,
no
what? What? There are gaps to fill in. What are the gaps to fill in here?
There aren't any here because it's connected to a specific time and a specific event. There, it isn't.
Why? You could say, I don't know, why can you say the same thing? It was towards the beginning of the Mamluchus Yehoyakim and Yoshiyahu. There are so many there are many prophecies. We don't have to pin it down to a specific time.
It saves you if you interpret the other way. It saves you from having to give the proof that it's out of order.
Okay, the question is an excellent question. I don't have an answer. I really don't have an answer. I really don't know, but it's an excellent question. Let's see the Radak. The Radak pasuk Bereshis Mamluchus al divrei avodai. When it says he's jumping ahead. When it says in pasuk Beis, al divrei avodai, it doesn't mean al means el. No, it's not a pasuk. It's really pasuk. It's pasuk hey. In Pasuk Hey, where it says, "Im lo yisishmu elai l'leches b'sarasi Hashem zanavnechem l'shmoya al divrei avodai." So he says the same thing that the Mitzvah says, does not read it al divrei avodai anavim k'moy el divrei. V'chein v'yelech l'kana haramasa al beiso. It means kmo el besov hadaimin loy. Kiradak pasig vav. Kishiloy. You're going to suffer the same fate as Shiloy. Kishalaku pelishtim esaretz behamulchama ascharaf mishkon Shiloy. Shiloy was destroyed. Okay, now let's see some of the midrashim. The first midrash touches upon the significance of the three times in Tanakh where it says the word Bereshis. It says it here, Bereshis Mamluchus Yehoyakim, and it says it later on, Bereshis Mamluchus Tzidkiyahu. There's going to be later on another prophecy that's going to be said in the first year of Tzidkiyahu, 11 years from this point in time. So the Medrash says, why did it say Bereshis three times? The answer is, Hashem, at this moment in time, wanted to destroy the entire world and bring it back to the Matziv, to the way the world looked at the time of Bereshis. Why? Because Klal Yisrael were not deserved, because the world has failed to achieve its purpose. And this fits very well also with what we learned a couple of times, is that it was meant to be, the Churban Beis Hamikdash was meant to happen at the time of the death of Yoshiyahu. When Yoshiyahu died, it was determined, min hashamayim, the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed, and the Galus should commence. It did not happen, because Klal Yisrael did tshuva to some degree, and they were maspid Yoshiyahu kehalacha with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And in reward, they were given an extension of 22 years. 22 years of 11 years of Yehoyakim and 11 years of Tzidkiyahu. So, but the world was meant to come to an end at this moment in time. That means that this world has failed to achieve its tafkid. The tafkid of this world is to create a mokoim for Hashem's Shekhinah to rest upon this world. Hashem created this world as an incomplete creation. He gave man an opportunity to be a partner in creation to bring his Shekhinah into this world by building a Beis HaMikdash through recognizing that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself in nature. So for a number of years, until this point in time, everything was going according to plan. It took the world time to mature, to come to that realization, to the Klal Yisrael, to be Mekabel, to become the Am HaNivchar, to be Mekabel the Torah, to go into Eretz Yisrael, to build Beis HaMikdash. And it was good. For 410 years, it all was fine and well, until it came a point in time where they were no longer behaving the way they should, and the world, the Beis HaMikdash, was meant to be destroyed. The world failed to achieve its purpose, and therefore the world was meant to be at this moment in time in the Matzav of Bereshis. Why then did Hashem not destroy the entire world? Because He looked at the generation. The people of the generation were righteous, even though the king was a Rasha. Yehoyakim, in the eyes of Chazal, this king that we're discussing, was a very evil man. He was an evil man, and a leader has very, very great power. And Hashem says, really, I should destroy the world because of such leaders, but being that the people are righteous, I'm going to let the world continue to exist. Fast forward 11 years. 11 years later, Bereshis Mamleches Tzidkiyahu, Hashem once again said, you know what? Now I really want to destroy the world. Why? Because the leader, it's a trickle-down effect. It's a trickle-down effect, the leader upon the people. Even though the people, when Yoshiyahu died, Yoshiyahu, he raised the generation to a very, very great level. Yoshiyahu, for 31 years, he did wonders for Klal Yisrael. He took them from a nation under the authority of Menashe and Amon that were completely wicked and ignorant, and he raised them to a level of righteousness that Mashiach almost came. That lingered, that righteousness in Klal Yisrael lingered after his death, but because they had an evil king who took his place, Yehoyakim, his influence trickled down to society, and 11 years later, the people were all considered wicked, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to destroy the world due to their wickedness. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop? Because they got lucky, and the next king was Tzidkiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik, was a very great tzaddik. Even the Chazal criticized him partially as being a Rasha also, but that's only a small part of his persona. But Ruba, he was a tzaddik, so in his merit, Hashem did not destroy the world. Now let me read you the Medrash. Let me tell you a very fascinating part from Rav Yechiel Michel Stern on this Medrash. First, let me just read you. Okay, let's read these words again. So, the Amar Rav Yochanan b'Shimon Yochai, Ma'idich Siv. I'm reading you the whole Medrash. It's not as a Medrash. I'm sorry, it's a Gemara in a Sanhedrin, and of Kuf Gimel, and in Arachin, of Yud Zayin, Bereshis Mamluchus Yehoyachim ben Yoshiyahu. Yilksivin, it says later on, very soon, Perichav Ches, only two Perachim, Bereshis Mam Leches Tzidkiyahu. Vechi Ad Ho'idna Loihavi Malchei. The word Bereshis Mam Leches seems to indicate that it's the beginning of Malchus. The word Bereshis, when you juxtapose to Malachas, it seems to imply that it's the first time that Klal Yisrael had a king. This is not the first king. There have been many, many kings until now. So the Gemara, let me just jump ahead in the Gemara. Ella, the Gemara answers, Lalamdecha. Ella, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lehachazir Esa'olam Kulo Letohu Vavohu. Hashem wanted to return the world to a state of nothingness, like what existed at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, B'shvil Yehoyakim. He has a comment over here, due to the wicked nature of Yehoyakim, but Nistakel B'doiroi, Hashem look at his generation, V'niskorra Daitoi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu calmed down, he cooled off, and he allowed the world to continue. Furthermore, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachzir es'olam kulo l'tohu in the b'shvil doiroi, the people of Shel Tzidkiyahu. 11 years later, due to the influence of the wicked king Yehoyakim, the people all became Rishayim. And Hashem now wanted to destroy the world. However, Nistakel b'Tzidkiyahu v'niskara daito, because he was a righteous person. The Gemara asks a question. Really? Was Tzidkiyahu a tzaddik? But it says in the pasuk, "B'tzidkiyahu namik sivayas hora v'yenei Hashem." So the Gemara says, "Ela." The Gemara answers, "That was not a personal wickedness. The criticism was shahaya biyadei limchois v'loy micha." So here you see two different types of judgments. There's a personal judgment. Are you yourself a tzaddik or a rasha? And then there's a separate judgment. Did you exercise your influence upon others? So as far as a personal righteousness, the Chazal said that Tzidkiyahu was extremely righteous. And his righteousness was so much, so great, that in his merit alone, it was kedai for Hashem to preserve the world. However, this that it says in the pasuk that he was a rasha, that's a separate dimension of his persona, that he failed to exercise his influence upon the people to bring them to repentance, that they also should be tzaddikim. Now, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Stern asks the question, why did Chazal say that in the merit of Tzidkiyahu did HaKadosh Baruch Hu save the world? Why didn't it say in the merit of Yirmiyah Hashem saved the world? Why not in the merit of Yechezkel? These two prophets were living at this point in time, Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. So he says something fascinating. He says, because they weren't leaders. They were not in a position of authority.
Right.
You could be the greatest tzaddik, but the real test of righteousness is, or the real power that a person has, is when you have a position, when you have a shtela, and you have a position that somehow magnifies your righteousness. You're a tzaddik in a Karen Zavis. You sit in a koil, you sit in a little room in the back, and no one knows who you are. That's a very high madrig of righteousness.
But they were
Navi. A Navi is exactly what he says. A Navi was influence was very limited. A Navi was a Navi. A Navi was a freelancer. He was a freelancer.
You
he
see
was,
from the effect. Nobody listened to you.
No one listened to him. They wanted to kill him. They tortured him. They made litzanis.
They had no power to implement anything that they want to do.
They had no power. Exactly. They had no power. It's a very fascinating, that's what he says, it's a very shocking thing. I mean, it's very true to a certain degree. You see even ordinary people who know no great sheikhs, see students, they're in a position of leadership. You know, they have a legacy. They make decisions, and for generations they're being judged, and their power continues. And then you have people that are extremely righteous and extremely good. They did not merit for whatever reason to have a position.
I understand what you're saying, but the fact is we're learning all these Nevi'im, and now I'm being hit with a new idea.
So you're saying that it's not true, because look, the proof is in the pudding. We're sitting and learning here the words of Yirmiyah, and Tzidkiyahu is long gone, and we don't have anything from Tzidkiyahu.
Right.
Good point. It's a very good point. Yirmiyah is alive. Yirmiyah is alive and well. Like it's the story with the Rambam.
Either, right?
There was a conference. They had the Rambam. It was 750th. Dvar Hashem. You're right. You're saying good. I don't remember the deal, but I remember they had a conference. They had a conference with the Rambam. They're commemorating in the university. All the chiloinim. They came together to commemorate the accomplishments of the Rambam. It was not. It was probably 20 years ago. 750 years since the death of the Rambam, maybe the birth of the Rambam. I don't know what it was. Since the Rambam lived, and they had a big thing in there to show. All the colleges came together. People should write papers and deliver lectures to commemorate the contribution of the Rambam to society, what the Rambam has given us. So they came. I think it was Rav Shach. Maybe it was someone else. And they said, how come the yeshiva bachim don't participate? They don't come to give kavod, to commemorate 750 years since the death of the Rambam. The yeshiva bachim should also come, and they should write some papers, and should give some. So the Rav Shach says, by us, the Rambam never died. The Rambam never died. By you, he died 750 years ago. You have to come and have a conference to remind yourself that there exists such a person. The Rambam is Chai V'Kayam. Devarav Heim. What does the Chazal say? The person's words of Torah. This is the person. He's alive and well in the Beis Medrash. So you're saying really good. You're saying over here is that Yirmiyahu, we have to refine this idea. Maybe I'll read inside. He probably finds Yirmiyahu is Chai V'Kayam. Because Yirmiyahu, the proof is, we're sitting over here together. We're learning the words of Yirmiyahu. Tzidkiyahu, you don't have a sefer from Tzidkiyahu. He didn't write it, he didn't say, he wasn't a prophet. So you'll say, he's Zuchusim, he was a tzaddik. Oymed etzlo ad? Okay, maybe, but it's not the same as having a text and having what to learn from. But I think what he means is that at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this moment in time is going to make a decision, in the present moment in time, Ba'asher Hu Sham, should the world continue to exist? The world is now at the crossroads. The Mekatrigim are demanding that there be Churban. It's the Yom HaDin. So you have a person like Yirmiyah, whose words will last forever. But Yirmiyah is not in a position of authority. Tzidkiyahu, who's not a Navi, he's not in the Madrega, his righteousness does not reach that of Yirmiyahu. He is in a position of authority, and he's exercising his position in the proper way, even though Chazal criticized him. Okay, you have to criticize also a little bit here and there, but overall, he is a tzaddik. The position enhances the person. And that is a very powerful limud musar today. I always feel is that, you know, people, it's very hard to get a position, to get a job. And if you don't have a position, whether you're a carpenter, you're a plumber, you're a programmer, you're a rabbi, it's very, very sad. It's very sad. You can be the greatest, greatest person. If you don't have a place to call home, you just don't have that status. You just don't have that. You can be the biggest genius if you're not a professor in some college. And when they go and they quote you, he's a professor in this college no one even heard of somewhere. You don't have. You're not grounded. You're not grounded unless you have that position. It's so true. You see this all the time. People who are geniuses and they accomplish great things, if they're not grounded, it's very frustrating. And that idea is expressed here very powerfully by Rabbi Michiel Michel Stern. Yirmiyah, in his sechus, the world will continue. Yechezkel, what about? No, they're not the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at to make the decision if it's going to be the world, because they're not grounded. They are not in the position of leadership. All right, that's what he says. Let me just look at it very quickly. Turn the page. Okay. Here it is. Umadua lo yehoila. I'm reading you from his notes. Zuchusam. There's another question. The question of Hamasker. He asked the question about the people who left, who went there. V'zeh shehegina zuchusa shal tzidkiyahu. V'loi hegina zuchusa shal yirmiyahu hanavi. Shehoye tzadik gomur. V'chosid gadol nira. Even though there's no question that Yirmiyahu was greater than Tzidkiyahu, yesh loy din yochid. Yirmiyahu is only an individual. Loy kein Tzidkiyahu, shoye melech. He was the melech. Nechshav hu kirabin. He has the status of the, he represents the tzibur. Ulechein l'inyin hagana. When it comes to protect the entire world, ala oylam bo'ilo yoyser zichusoy shel hamelech. Hashakul Kneged Harabin, even though he's not on the same spiritual status as Yirmiyahu. Okay, it's a very deep idea. It's a very deep idea, and just I want to point it out. You have to really develop it a little bit more. What?
They're called
the leaders. Yeah. The leaders are the Ene, even though they're not necessarily the great, the most righteous. The Gemara has the order of who, when it comes to Shidduchim, who should be, who comes first. The boy wants to marry. So the first one is to marry the Malami Tinoigas. Right? Is that the first one? The Gemara puts the Gedolei Hadar towards the bottom of the list. Because the Gedolei Hadar, they're not the Oisik, they're very busy.
Gedolei Hadar is not what we call Gadol Hadar.
It's the same idea. It's they're very busy. They're very busy in Yoni Tzibur, and there are people who don't have the yoke and the of these in Yonim. They have an opportunity to grow in learning and become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that the Gedolei Hador cannot. Alright, let's go further. So that's the significance of the word Bereishis. Let's go now to the next section of Pesukim. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin is we have a lot of name dropping. Famous people. Vayishmu haKohanim v'haNevi'im v'chol Amel Yirmiyahu. The people, the Kohanim and the Nevi'im, they listen. V'chol the people, they listen to Yirmiyahu v'daber es hadvarim o'elav beis Hashem, to say these words in the beis Hamikdash. You have to remember, this was shocking. It was the first time they heard. Everyone had very great respect for Yirmiyahu, as long as he doesn't give us Musar. You know, as long as you don't tell us what to do, we have very great respect for you. So Yirmiyahu was a very holy person. They already knew for 19 years he was delivering prophecy, but he didn't harm a fly. The prophecy he gave for 19 years did not predict gloom and doom for the average person. All of a sudden, he shows up in the Beis Hamikdash.
Maybe it was for the goyim. He was saying.
Okay, it could be for the first 19 years. He was saying goyim. There are many things. Okay, there were many things that he was saying during the first 19 years. But from Chazal Tzmash, for the first time, he told people that they're going to suffer. They're going to be destroyed. Is the first year of Yehoyakim. After, because I guess it makes sense, because while Yoshua was alive, there was always hope that there would not be a Chorban. In fact, Chazal said that Yoshua, had he listened to Yirmiyahu, had he listened and allowed Paro Necho to enter into Eretz Yisrael, then Ena Chanami, the Chorban would not have happened. It could very well be that Mashiach would have come shortly thereafter. Everything changed, took a turn for the worse with the death of Yoshiyahu. 3 months later, Yehoyakim came into office, and now it was sealed, their fate was sealed, and now for the very first time he told them the world is coming to an end. The apocalypse is upon us. So therefore what do they do to him? So they're shocked. Here they have a very well respected person, everyone loves him, everyone has respect. He comes in the Beis Hamikdash and he tells them, you're all gonna die. you're all going to die, you're going to go, the survivors are going to captivity, the base, Hamidus will be destroyed, it's going to be just like Shiloh, and the people were in utter shock, because the impression people had from the other Nevi'im was, everything is fine and good, why would you say such things? And also, Mepharshim point out, in the base Hamidus, you talk like this, it's like you say Nivel Peh. It's one thing to say Nivel Peh in the street, but to say Nivel Peh in the base HaKnesses, that you wouldn't dare. So Yirmiyah is saying that everyone's going to die, terrible things in the base HaMikdash, in the base Hashem. Are you out of your mind? So Vayhi was Kechalois Yirmiyahu Daber Eis Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Ledaber El Kol Ha'am Vayispesu Oso HaKohanim. He was arrested. He was seized by the Kohanim, the Hanavim. The Nevi'im means the false prophets. V'chol ha'am le'mar, most tamus, you will die. For saying such things, you're chayiv misa. In other words, they could have, they suspected you're a Navi Sheker. Maybe now, indeed, you're really not a Navi Emes, you're a Navi Sheker. Because a Navi Sheker, you're saying things that are not true.
We learned earlier on at the beginning that he was telling them, don't think because you're from Shevet Yehuda or Binyamin that you're still not in Golus like the rest of Klal Yisrael, that you're big tzaddikim. That's not why you're here. It's just that God is using you, using them as, you know, you should see. This is what happened to them, and you're next.
Pasuk Tes. Madua, they said to Yirmiyah, Madua Nibesa, why have you prophesied b'shem Hashem Lemar? Kishilo Yihyeh HaBayis HaZeh. It's one thing to say bad things are going to happen, but to frighten us and tell us it's going to be like Shiloh all over again. Why? V'chir hazos techerav me'en yoshev. Now this important point out is that Yirmiyah, sorry, pasuk ches.
Chavav.
On top.
When Shiloh was destroyed, it was only the Mishkan that was destroyed. The Pelishtim did not destroy the city. The city remained. It doesn't say anywhere in Sefer Shmuel that the city was destroyed. The Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed.
There was no Golus either, right?
There was no Golus either. Here it was worse, and too, it was worse that not only did you say that Shiloh is going to be destroyed, not only will the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed, the Yerushalayim will be destroyed. And we're all going to go into exile. Vayikohel kol ama el yirmi el yirmiyachol beis Hashem. Everyone gathered together. He was arrested. He was seized. And everyone gathered against Yirmiyah. There was like a mob, a lynching mob, to kill Yirmiyah for saying such horrible things. Vayishmu sore Yehuda eis hadvoy mo'ele. Vayalu mi beis hamelech beis Hashem. They went from the beis hamelech to the beis Hashem. The Vayeshu bepesach shar Hashem, ashar Hashem hechodosh. And they sat to judge him in the gate of Hashem Hechadosh. Why is it called Chadosh? So there are many reasons. One simple reason given by the Mitzudos is because that when years ago, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered, Paro Necho. When Paro Necho conquered, killed Yoshiyahu and appointed Yehoiachaz in his place for 3 months, there must have been some war. There must have been some event where the eastern gate of the Har HaBayis was destroyed due to some war between Paro or maybe even Nebuchadnezzar, and it had to be rebuilt. That's why it's called the Shar Hashem HaChadosh. Other commentators learn that HaChadosh means they were Mechadesh new halachas. In this gate, it was a gate where Beis Din instituted new takonos for Klal Yisrael. What the takonos were, I don't remember. But there were new takonos that were instituted in this gate. And that's why you got a new nickname, the Shar Hashem HaChadosh. Vayomu HaKohen HaNavim El HaSarim. The Kohanim and the Nevi'im, they are the ones that grabbed Yirmiyahu and wanted to kill him. And they came, they said to the Sarim of the people who are coming to save Yirmiyahu. The El Kol Am Leimar, Mishpat Maves L'Ish HaZed, this man deserves death. Ki Niba El Ho'ir HaZos Kasher Shematem B'Oznechem. You heard what he said. He's a Navi Sheker. How could it be that he's the only one that says that gloom and doom is going to come, whereas all other prophets that we know have said everything is going to be fine, well, therefore he is a Navi Sheker, and a Navi Sheker is Chayiv Misa. Vayomer Yirmiyahu el kol asorim v'el kol am leimar, Hashem shulchani. Yirmiyahu defends himself. It's a trial taking place over here. The Nevi'eh Sheker, they want to kill him. The Sarim want to save him. And they allow the defendant to speak up, to present his own defense. Hashem shulchani linabe el habayis hazevi eloir hazos eiskol advar masher shmatem. Hashem sent me to relay all of these words. The atar now heitivu darcheichem u ma alelechem. I warn you to do tshuva. In other words, this is very, very, very fascinating. He's on trial, and he uses his trial as a way to give them more mussar. You would expect if a person's on trial, his life is on the line, so you'd say, I'm innocent. I did not do anything. Hashem came to me, and Hashem told me to say these words. I'm an innocent man. Yirmiyahu took advantage of the publicity of the event, of the moment, to use this not to defend himself. It's not even coming down. To give more. Oh, I have the spotlight. I have the limelight. I can use this now as an opportunity to give over the prophecy better than I gave it over before. That's a very powerful thing. People do this. People, you see this in the modern world where people, they get arrested all for the purpose of drawing attention to themselves in order to make a statement. So he's saying over here, oh,
nothing.
What? It's coming from Yirmiyah. The Atah now, I'm using this opportunity to warn you, Heitivu darchichem u ma'al lechem, improve your ways and your deeds, v'shimu b'kol Hashem elokichem, and if you'll do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change his mind, v'yinochem Hashem, Hashem will relent, el hora'ah, concerning the evil asher diber alechem. V'ani, and Yirmiyah says, I'm in your hands, v'hinni v'yedchem, asuli dut mikatov v'chayosho b'yinichem, ach, but you should know, you should know. Ki im mimisim atem. If you kill me, ki dom no ki atem no istim alechem. You bring upon yourself innocent blood. Vi eloir azos vi es yoshvecha. And not only upon you, you're putting upon the city and upon the inhabitants. Ki ve emes. It is with emes shalachani Hashem alechem l'dabe biyaznechem is kol hadvam eila. Hashem has sent me to relay these words to you. Yeah, if you remember, at this point in time, Zechariah, blood was still bubbling in the Beis HaMikdash right near where this event took place. Zechariah was killed about 200 years ago, approximately 200 years before Yirmiyahu came on scene. And his blood, he also did the same exact thing. He told the people to stop worshipping idols on Shabbos. It was Shabbos, it was Yom Kippur. He was a Navi in the Beis HaMikdash, and they killed him.
And he was
a Kohen Gadol, Machlokes the Kohen Gadol, and his blood was bubbling not far. And over here he says, he gives him, I'm going to be another Zechariah. Okay, let's see over here first in the Farshan, very easy. In the Farshan, Pasuk Zayin through Pasuk Tezvav. First in the Mitzudois, HaKoyanim, the Koyhani Abal, when it says that he was arrested, apprehended by the Koyhanim, of course it refers to the Koyhani Abal. The Hanavim, Nevi'ei Sheker, Pasuk Chesva Yisbisu, they grabbed him, Achazubay B'chazaka, they grabbed him with force. The armor, they said, "Hinei Namis, Oischa, we're going to kill you." El Yirmiyahu, El Hamokam Shama Sham Yirmiyah. The Sarim came to Yirmiyah, to the place where Yirmiyah was seized. Vayishmu ba'avur rikshas hamoy na'am shamu es hadvar mo'ele. They heard a commotion, so they came to see what's going on. Beis Hashem, Beis Hashem, Beis Hashar, it's in the Lebeh B'chalal Hashar, HaKadosh. Why is the gate, the eastern gate, called the new gate? So Yitochein, it's possible. Shenafal, it fell down. It was just old. It was lapidated. V'chitshu oisav b'binyan, they renewed it. V'ulai zeh shabana yosam kimo shakasav. Maybe he wants to find the pasuk Malachim that yosam hubana as hashar beis Hashem u'elyoin. It says that he rebuilt the upper gate, so therefore it was already renovated, so therefore it was called the shar, it was called Chodesh. Mishpat Maves, they said about him, Michai Misa, ki chashtu l'shemiliba niba hadavar, he was a Navi Sheker. He fabricated these words of prophecy, for Amma Sheesh lo din chiyad Misa. Eloir, aloir, concerning the city, kasher shamatem, ha'am shamu mipi Yirmiyah, ve'hasarim mipi ha'mestaprim, the Sarim heard, second from people who told him, from reporters. Hashem shalachani, v'lo mibili yomarti ha'dvarim, I'm telling you, it was the MS, ve'atoa nahil, u'mi Hashem, Hema, Heitivu, Vitignu, Darichichem, I'm warning you, you should improve your ways. V'oz, Yinochem Hashem, Al Hara, Pasuk Gedalid, Ritzkirtoiv, Ritzon Eloimar, Kifi, Haniu Lechem. Do to me whatever you want. But if you kill me, you should know that you're guilty of spilling innocent blood. Ki damnaki, avoin damnaki. Pasik tezvav, v'chol ha'om. Imki mitchilo hoysa yadam imak lehanim hanavim. Ata b'shamam. But now when they heard, divrei Yirmiyahu, shadim b'shlichus Hashem, chazhu b'chem, they did tshuva. Okay, that's the next pasik. That's pasik tezayin. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik yud. Says when Rashi says Tafsu Nidia Shekhov Yakoyhanim Es Yirmiyahu, they grabbed him. So the Sar Yehuda came to hear, see what's going on, to defend him. The Pesach Hashar Chodosh. Why is it called Chodosh? Acherim Higio. Now I don't know what the word Higio means. I think this means they built it. And Michal, do you have a translation in the Jacob Press for Higio?
Different
gears. Yeah,
Hagar. Appears to be an error.
This appears to be an error.
Since this prophecy was proclaimed at the beginning of the reign of Yehoyakim, who preceded both
Yehoyakim. Right, he's saying Yehoyakim doesn't make sense.
However, the intention may be that they sat in the gate, which was later renewed by Tzidkiyahu.
Later, Allah Osset. Acherim Higio. So, how does he translate those words, Higio? Others have corrected.
Repaired.
Higio means repaired.
Yeah.
Oh, higio.
To be magia, like you.
To fix. So you use the word for a wall. The word higio. All right. So in other words, this was a new wall. It was renovated. Why was it renovated? Because the old wall was destroyed. When was it destroyed? So it says here in Rashi, Kishagolo Yehoyachin. Wait a minute. But this took place in the first year of Yehoyakim. Yehoyachin was 11 years later. So what's out of order? That's where Michal is quoting there from the Judaica Press, that is obviously there's something, there's an error. The something over here doesn't make sense, because how could over here it say that when Yehoyachin went to exile, v'ktsas kol beis elokeinu imo, and part of Klal Yisrael, shavroi cheiloi shel Nebuchadnezzar shar hamizrach, Nebuchadnezzar, he demolished the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was repaired. So when it was repaired, it was called the new wall. Problem is, this is chronologically out of order. So either you have to say that it doesn't, that it means Allah Asa, that since this gate would one day be demolished and repaired, so we're calling it called Shara Chotzer Al Shein HaAsad, what will be in the future. Or maybe this took place not by Yehoyachin, but it took place by Paro Necho. By Paro, when Paro Necho conquered Yoshiyahu, and he appointed Yehoyachas, so maybe at that point in time the walls collapsed. Alright, whatever it is. Let's see the Radak. Pasik Tes. Madua Nibesa. Okay, Nibesa is missing an Aleph. Navi always has an Aleph. So what happened to the Aleph? It disappeared. Just like if this wood would have had a hay, hays go much easier than aleph's. Hays disappear more than aleph's. So here also the aleph and the hay sometimes are interchangeable. Just like a hay you can discount, so too in this instance you can discount the aleph. Kishiloi yabayis hazeh. So Shiloi the first time, when Yirmiyah warned them, notice in Pasuk Vav, he warned them, if you don't behave, it's going to be like Shiloi. Look how it's spelled. It's spelled with a hey. Here, when they repeat his words, they say to him, why do you tell us that it's going to be like Shiloh, but with a vav? So he points that out. Ha'arishon kasa behev is zeh bevav, u'shneim chaserim, and they're both missing
the yud.
They're both missing she. Okay, the yud.
The yud after the shin, that's what he's saying.
Each one is missing a letter.
Right.
Vav and hey.
Both of them are missing the yud.
Right.
That's another letter they're both missing. Because she, the yud, okay, the she, after the shin. All right, it doesn't say which one is missing. Either each one is missing another letter. Okay, so the only drush that comes to mind is this is by design. In other words, when Yirmiyah said it's going to be Shiloh, the way Shiloh is spelled in Shmuel's with a hey. So they said to him, So Yirmiyah said, watch out. If you don't behave, what's going to happen here in the Beis Hamikdash will be just like what happened in Shiloh. That was shocking. That was frightening. When the people repeated his crime, they couldn't bring themselves, due to the terror of such a report, to say Shiloh the way it's properly pronounced, with a hey. So they only said it partially. Like, you present the evidence to the judge. Judge, we can't even tell you what he said. We can't say such nivel peh in front of you. So we'll just be merames that this person in front of us, he insulted the officer. He insulted the court. We're not going to even say what he said. Likewise, maybe there's a drush. The reason why the people, when they recorded what he said, they did not say it with the hey, because they couldn't bring themselves to fathom such a horror happening to Klal Yisrael all over again, the Churban Beis Hamikdash like Shiloh. Okay, next, Pasuk Yud, B'Pesach Shah Hashem HaChadosh. Why is it called Chodosh? We already had the parish of the Mitsudos and the parish of Rashi. Either Chodosh, either it demolished, is old, it fell down, it was rebuilt, or we learned it was the Yehoiram, he rebuilt it, or Ala Asid, Tom of Yehoiachin, the Vuchanetzah would demolish it. But the Mardak says, Hu Shar Mizrachis, Kemosh Shatigim Yonison, Bimalana, in the presence, Disra'a, the gate base Makdesha, the Hashem Midin Cho'a of the east. Okay, of the east side. I think Midcha means the east side. The Machadesh, they enacted takonos. The Machadesh chidushim, new dinim and klal Yisrael were enacted in this gate, and therefore that's why it was called Chodesh. V'shiva shemos nirkulo, there are seven names. Not telling who the names are, but Chazal tells us that this kid has seven names. V'yitachin l'farish sh'cheshu o'ichot shei b'yishum binyin l'fichin d'yichu chadash. Or simply says they went and they added something new to this building. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk te zayin. V'yom ra'asari m'chol ha'am v'al ha'kainim v'al ha'nevim ein lo'esh l'sarim. Now here is something very, very fascinating. The Sarim were defending him. The Nevi'im wanted to execute him. What about the Om? The Om, originally, public opinion, was with the Nevi'i Sheker. They also wanted to kill him. But after listening to the debate, televised debate, 50 million people watching the debate, the Om were swayed to follow in the opinion of the Sarei Ha'am. They changed their mind. So that's why the Sarei Mechol Ha'am, that's what Rav Mitzudah says, that's why the Am now is switched sides. In the previous Pesukim, the Am was always associated with the Nevi'im. Now the Am is with the Sarim. Ein lo ish hazem mishpat moves ki b'shem Hashem Elokim diber eleinu. Vayakumu anashim yizignei ha'aretz vayomu el kol ha'kohol ha'imar. And now they started referring to Micha. Micha is one of the Trei Osar. So they said he's no different than Micha. Micha ha'mo rashti. Hoya niba v'mei Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. Let's go back 200 years. In the time of Chizkiyahu, there was a prophet Micha. And Micha was unpopular. He also went against public opinion. And he said, bad things are going to happen. Now this is a very famous pasuk, which we're going to have to probably spend time on tomorrow. But this is the pasuk, the famous Gemara at the end of Masechta Makos, with Rabbi Akiva. Nichamti Tzion Basada Techaresh, he was the one that gave Micha, was the one that gave the prophecy. We'll come to the Gemara tomorrow, believe it or not. Tzion Sadeh Secharesh, Tzion will be plowed over with a field. Yushlaim Iyim Tiyah, Yushlaim will turn into a wasteland. The Har Habayis Lebomos Yar will turn into a place for wild animals, a forest, for rubble and a forest. That's you couldn't get worse than that, and this was said during the time of Chizkiyahu. So the question they present in his defense, legal precedent. They're arguing over here legal precedent. They were greater than us. Chizkiyahu and his Bezdin were certainly greater than us, and what he said at that point also went against popular belief, opinion. Hamisu Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda v'Chol Yehuda. Did they kill him? Hallo Yoreas Hashem. They feared Hashem. Vayichalas pnei Hashem. And they listened to the Navi. And they prayed to Hashem. Vayinochem Hashem el horo asher diber aleihem. And now, v'anachnu oisim ro'ah gedoylo al nafshe senu, if we're going to kill him, we're going to bring upon ourselves a very great evil. So, this was the defense of the Sardim to the Nevi'ah Sheker, and it convinced the Ha'am as well to follow in this opinion. Let's go over here to Mitzudos Tavid. Pasuk Tzayin. V'chol Ha'am. It says over here, very important, Mitzudos. Im ki mitchilo hoysa yodam im ha'koychanim v'hanevi'im. Even in the beginning they were on the other side. Ata v'shamam divrei Yirmiyah sh'nibe v'shlichus Hashem chazru bohem. Now the arm switch sides. Gibeshem Hashem v'loyamar m'libay. We believe we can detect that he is sincere. Pasuk Yitzayin v'yamru haviu raya lifter es Yirmiyah min amisa. They brought a proof that he's no different than Micha from the Treyasar. Sados techareish, the tzion will be a field that will be plowed over. Ritzon leimar techareish liyosadil lizrayabo, will be a field that will be plowed. Iim tia, the whole Yerushalayim will be a wasteland. Tia mileim galim mounds kederech chabatim achareva achareivim in the filas hakivos, like it is customary in a city where walls, the city walls fall down and collapse in its rubble. Pasuk yutes. Hello, I'm sorry. Lebamos Yoar, Ye Mole Migale Avonim, we filled of mounds of stones. Doimel Lebamos Hamitsuyim Biyar, similar to mounds that are found in the forest. Ha Hahimis, Pasuk Yitest, they kill the Chihemis also Chizkiyo Be'avur Shniba Kizos. Hello, Yore, Hello, Amela Chizkiyo, Hoya Yore, Yes Hashem, Yispal, Fonda Levatal Xera. Vios Nichem Hashem Al Hara, Vianachnu, Avol. Anachnu kishenamis, so if we're going to kill him, nasa oid ro gidoyel al nafshenu, we're going to be more evil upon ourselves. V'loy daish lo yinachim al ro elish yosef oid al ro. We're going to bring more evil upon ourselves. Ki Rashi pasuk yud ches, Micha ha'amoy Rashi dimin me mor reish, name of a place. Iyim is galim vayichal itzkiyad was mispalel loshon tefila. Vanachnu aysim ra gidoyla im naharoy goysanu. If you're missing some words in the pasuk, we're going to kill him, we're going to bring upon ourselves very great evil. Okay, let's see the Radak. We'll wind down with the Radak. Pasuk tezayin. Pasuk yud zayin. Vayakumu anoshim mizikne haaretz eile hazikenim ash hayut tzadikim v'sipu zeh inyan shoye bimei tzidkiyahu. Shenisnabe Micha Tzion Sodes Secharesh. V'chein Kasa B'nevuas Micha, and so is written in B'nevuas of Micha. But what does it mean of B'meit Tzidkiyahu? We're not dealing with B'meit Tzidkiyahu. V'yekumu Anashim Mizig Necharetz Eile Hazikenim Pasuk Yudzayin Mizig Necharetz V'yemu El Kol HaKohol Lamar. I don't know why he says be made Tzidkiyahu. We're not up to the days of Tzidkiyahu. What? Oh, I'm sorry. So, but why did it say Tzidkiyahu? What do you have in your text?
It was
what?
It was Chizkiyahu.
You have Chizkiyahu?
No, I'm saying that's what you're thinking, right?
No, right. So my question is, what do you have in your text? Be made Tzidkiyahu in the right. So it can't be, right? It can't be. We're dealing over here with the King Yehoyakim, and the pasuk is discussing Chizkiyahu. So I think there's a mistake. I think he means v'sifru zeoyin shoy bimei Chizkiyahu, not Tzidkiyahu. Right? There's a mistake here in the text. There's a mistake in the text. Over here, the Tzidkiyahu was the king that came 11 years after Yehoyakim. So we're not up to that point in time in history yet. And the pasuk is discussing what happened during the days of Chizkiyahu, 200 years before. So what is the Radak over here saying? V'sibu ze'inyan shoy bimei Tzidkiyahu. What? He means bimei Chizkiyahu, as it says in the pasuk. Shenisnaba micha tzion sodeh seichoresh, v'chein kasa b'nevuas micha, as can be found in Micha Perigimel. Pasuk Yutas, how did Chizkiyahu respond to the Musar of Micha? He was mispalel. He did tshuva. Kamo shekasa halo yeri as Hashem halo shekamo 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 shekamo. He's leading now into Pasuk Chaf. So in Pasuk Chaf, we're going to present the prosecution. So here's the trial. The trial going on over here. The defendant defended. First, he defended himself. That was in the beginning. Now, the defense presented its case. And now the prosecution is going to present its case. Notice, this is not the way it's done in the American system. In the American system, the defendant speaks last. Right, isn't that the way they do it on television? Law and order. The defendant speaks last. You get to say something at the very end. And who is the one that? Who is the one? What? And who?
That's why it's called defense.
What's the charge?
And who is the one that speaks first? What?
Does the glove fit?
And who's the one that speaks first? With, in the, I don't know who speaks first. The defense or the prosecution?
Prosecution.
So the prosecution goes first, then the defense goes, and then so in American law, first the prosecution, then is the defense, and then is the defendant. He comes here. Same thing. Does he get to speak, the defendant?
He doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to. Notice the seder. No, but if he does choose to speak, when does he speak? In America, last. Okay, last. That's the point. So in American law, we're accustomed, first is the prosecution, then is the defense, and then the defendant, if he so wishes. Notice here, it's just the opposite. First, the previous psukim, Yirmiyahu defends himself. He came first. Then the defense, then the people, the sarim, the defendant, they're his team. He's the defendant, the Yirmiyahu. They're trying to kill him.
No, but they knew. Where are the charges presented?
The charge of presented before it was presented. The charge was presented again that he's a Navi Sheker. He's a Navi Sheker.
And then
those are the charges. Now there's a trial.
No. Then he's questioned.
Yes.
Right.
And he
by the prosecution.
Right.
Right. And he tried to defend himself.
Right.
And then comes the prosecution.
Then comes the defense. We just read all of
the prosecution goes first.
We just read all of these psukim of where he's the where the defense team is arguing. And now tomorrow Pasuk Chaf we're going to start. Pasuk Chaf will start with the prosecution. That's Pasuk Chaf. Alright, we'll stop over here.